thank you for listening to the Print and Packaging Lab, powered by PIA Mid-America. We are a regional trade association for the printing and packaging industries. Today's deep dive conversation with Phil Eep Bicey with Venture 10 looks at what to expect when you decide to sell your printing business and why you should be thinking about it sooner than later.
Hi, thank you for listening to this deep dive. Today we're joined by Leap IC Venture 10, and we're going to talk about mergers and acquisitions and selling your business. And thank you, Philippe, for being with us today.
Well, hi, Janie. Well, thank you. My pleasure to be here with you. So appreciate the invite.
Let's start with the very basics. I think, you know, people are aware of the terminologies, but tell us more about what you do specific to our industry, and let's get started there.
Sure. Yeah, be glad to. So Venture 10 is, we're a merger and acquisition advisory firm. You know, there's three of us in the firm, we're a bit under the radar. We're focused on specifically printing. You know, it includes printing, commercial printing, packaging, label. That's what we focus on, and that's the experience of the three of us in the business. Been in printing, basically our whole lives. So and what mergers and acquisitions firm in general really does is from an advising standpoint, not a brokering standpoint, we support our clients, be it on the buy side or the sell side, go after their target, what their plan is. So on the sell side, if someone wants to sell, we advise them what the process is. We help them with valuation. We help negotiate. From a high level, we look at terms, and we really become their advisor and lead a person or lead company in dealing with the acquisition. And that also then involves looking for potential targets based on what they're looking for. We also do, and I think a number of firms will do that, is we advise people to get ready to sell. For example, if they're looking to sell and they go and people will call and say, well, listen, I'm kind of looking at selling maybe in 3 or 4 or 5 years. Okay, great. Do you know what's involved, the process, how to prepare for it, maybe how to improve things to improve your valuation? And they'll go, well, not really. I've talked to my accountant and he has some knowledge. And so we actually have helped people or assisted, I should say. I'll let them say that we helped them, which they do, to say, here's how you prepare. Right? How do you prepare your business to sell in 2 years or 3 years or 4 years? Because a lot of the mid-size, and we primarily play in a mid-size market, a lot of mid-size market owners, they're great people. They're entrepreneurs. They're building their business. They're growing their business. And they're not looking at preparing the business, in generally speaking, to sell.
Right.
So that's really what we do as advisors. And that's why we talk to some people that are, maybe years away, but at least let them know, this is what's involved, this is how this works, this is what you're going to be required to do, et cetera, et cetera. So
you and I have had that conversation a couple of times, and it really prompted us getting together to talk today about sometimes you'll get a call, someone's ready to sell, they're ready to make their exit move for whatever reason, they're not quite prepared, and you really have to think about selling your business as an additional business plan and additional operations to track so that you're setting yourself up for the best number and success.
Correct. Exactly right. And again, a lot of the business owners, they're busy growing the business, they're contributing, they're employing people, and at some point, especially owners and individuals, and if there's not a succession plan, where some family or employees can take over, then they need to have a plan, just like we always talk about, business needs a 3-year plan, a 5-year plan. Need to have a plan that says, okay, we're going to sell at some point, and what's involved in doing that? What's involved, and start learning about that process. And that's where then M&A advisors come in. And we recommend people that start doing that, because unfortunately, sometimes, we get a call and get involved where people are ready to sell and they want out in a year. And it's like, well, that process, process takes time. So, we advise people, start thinking about it at some point. If you don't see a succession plan where someone else can come in, take over, family or key employees, which, you know, we get involved in too when someone wants to maybe sell to some key employees. You know, there's ways of doing it. How do you value it, et cetera, fund it, et cetera, et cetera. So
yeah, we see that a lot in our industry as well. But let's talk about some of the things that need to happen once somebody decides I'm ready to prepare the business to sell. What are you looking at? What are they needing to come up with? What's the first step?
Yeah. It varies a little bit, but generally speaking, right, if someone calls and says, hey, you know, I'm considering selling, you know, let's talk what's involved. You know, we'll talk about, okay, why do you want to sell, right? But before we even talk about the process, okay, why you want to sell, right? It's be age related, and we see a lot of that, right? Yeah. I mean, the industry, a lot of people, it's still very fragmented, and there's a lot of people in their, I call it late 50s, certainly 60s, and with no succession plan. So we ask them, why do you want to sell now, right? What's prompted you to sell, to understand a little bit what, you know, what's going on in their business. Try to understand the segment they're in. How diversified, for example, are they? You know, are they just sheet fed? Are they sheet fed digital? You know, understand their business really a little bit. What segment do they play in, or segments do they play in? What do they have for equipment, et cetera? And then we explain to them a little bit how the market, from our perspective, with our experience, how the market would look at a company like theirs, right? Before we even get into the process, we say, okay, you know, you're a commercial printer, but you expanded into digital, you do some white format, you know, you're in 2-3 different segments, you know, and have grown the business. Stable client base, you know, employees. So, you know, people out there that would look at company like you, you know, yours would be interested. They'd be interested for these factors. And we would say they may not be interested for these factors. Like, you know, just a simple one. I haven't updated my equipment in 5 years. And I know, you know, that will say, well, okay, that's, you know, it doesn't stop anything, but that's not a positive. You know, it could have some impact. It may not, depending on who we find. So, and then, so we kind of explain that and then get their reaction, right? Because mm-hmm. some people, they go fine. Others are going, I want to do this in a year, or, you know, you got to be kidding. I mean, I've done this, you know, why is this so difficult? I've read an article that this company that happened to be 60 million and I'm 6 million. So what's the difference? You know, right. They'll bring up a company and we go, yeah, but that's a $60 million company right. in revenue. Right. Yours is six. So it's a little different, you know, and you drive, you have multiple hats. Yeah. In a $60 million company, there's six people with six different hats, with each with their own hat. But anyway, and then we explain the process, you know, how you would look at financials, organize them the way buyers look at them, try to understand what their debt is, you know, understand where they're strong, client concentration. You know, have they been with you for a long time? Do you have contracts or not? You know, it's in certain business, we know they don't, you know, but in some business, there are contracts. Because again, having contracts is good, but in some segments, it doesn't, you know, doesn't apply. And then also employees, right? We say, okay, you know, how do you set with employees? Do you have a lot of turnover? You know, things like that. So we explain to them, you know, that's what people look at. And then our evaluation, you know, would happen. So we need financials. Then we go look for target companies. You know, as you're looking for, you know, what are you looking for? Like, you know, simple one is, are you looking to sell your business as a going concern, ideally, so that you can keep it going? You care about the employees, obviously, you care about your clients, or, you know, are you looking at a consolidation, a tuck-in? Right? Because those are two different things. They actually get valued somewhat, you know, differently, and you know, and if that's not what you're looking for, then we explain, okay, here, you know, here's what as an ongoing concern goes and versus a consolidation. Because some people, you know, don't want to consolidate for good reasons. Sometimes they have to because they're at a point where, you know, that's where they're at. So
that's the option.
So we explain the whole process and the timetable. And yes, it takes effort, but we, you know, as M&A advisors, we take all that information, we manage it, we contact the targets based on their criteria. With their involvement, but we become like the lead, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a simple example as I use with people is I say, you know, we drive the bus, but you sit right behind us and you can tell us to turn right or left.
Right.
You know, but we do the interaction with the folks because they're needed to run their business. They can't devote, you know, another 20 hours a week on this process. And from their end, it's usually limited to people that get involved. In many cases, it's the owner or owners. A CPA or some sort of financial person gets involved initially sometimes not. On, you know, with the $5 to $10 million companies, owners usually just manage it and there's no interaction. And then as you start going into due diligence, one or two key people may get involved. But that's, you know, down the road, towards the end of the process. So
really looking at the business holistically, I want to shift just slightly. I think there's such an emotional component to all of this. People have built their businesses and they're proud of what they've done. And then you can come in and not quash a dream or enthusiasm, but point out things that maybe, I'll just make it akin to being nose blind too, that they've looked over so many times that it's just invisible. And that's got to be hard. You're probably in a role of pseudo therapist a little bit too.
Your point is, you know, first there's the decision of, you know, getting to that decision, right? And that's where I would say in general in our industry, and for good reason, because these people have built a business for 20 or 30, 40 years, or they're second or third generation, okay?
Yeah.
That getting to the decision, I want to go sell, which then they would, you know, engage an M&A advisor, has in many cases taken them too long.
Yeah.
You know, in some cases they've waited because taking that decision is emotional and because of all the history of for all the right reasons. So, but yes, it's an emotional decision. And then yes, as we go through things, you know, we point out, because listen, we all are proud of what we do and our personal situations and, you know, but it's important that, you know, we point things out and if that are, you know, may be viewed as not the best, you know, or negative, and you point it out, and then you work on ways to get around it or delay things, you know, and say, listen, then let's go fix this in the next 12 months or 18 months, whatever. And then, you know, as an option, right? It's not like, okay, you've decided to sell and then they may go, I wasn't aware of this. Well, okay, that's what we see today. So, you know, we go through that. And it's interesting because I may have shared it with you. I had the opportunity to do, you know, go through a selling when I was running the Prism MIS company. And I'd only been there 7 years. I didn't build the company. We did a lot of stuff and we grew. But when it was time to sell, it took me a process. It took me a couple of weeks when the board told me, okay, we're doing this, Philippe. I'm like going, okay, I knew. But when they finally said we're going to do this, I didn't make the decision. I was part of it, but you know, I wasn't a happy guy for a couple of weeks. And so I can only imagine after 30 years of being third generation, you know, and somebody's got to make the decision. That's the thing.
Yeah. Absolutely. I talked a little bit about that opportunity cost of not thinking about it sooner. What's an ideal time frame, do you think, or is there one?
It varies, right? But certainly when you're doing really well and have growing revenue for the last 2-3 years and growing profitability, you know, that's good, you know. You want to be on an upward trend to sell versus a downward trend, right?
Yeah.
But again, when you're an upward trend, you're invincible. So you're doing good. So it really comes down to, you know, the work you're doing, you know, maybe some family situations. And also, even if you're doing well, right, I want to go to the next level. The next level will require additional revenue, additional work, additional equipment. Let's say we expand into another segment. You know, I'm commercial, I'm digital, I want to go into white format. Okay, now we've got to go spend money in that area. And I am not putting part of the business at additional risk.
Yeah.
You know, am I willing to do that? And am I at a stage where maybe, you know, I don't want to do that anymore. And let's go look and do this, right? And we've had people that looked at selling or expanding into another segment, you know, and yes, they were very particular on what they wanted for the business because they had a plan B. If I can't sell for this type of condition, not just value, but condition and terms, and with people that I like and get along with, then I'm just going to go into white format and I'm going to go invest X amount of million and hire people and take on that risk. And yes, now I'm not going to do anything for the next 3 to 5 years until that value is brought up, because you don't go into a new segment and just you know, start making money a year later necessarily. I mean, you can, but you know.
Right, there's always a ramp up to whatever you do.
It costs money to get into the, you know, go to the next level. Time and money and effort.
Time, money, and resources, right?
Yeah, yeah. And maybe a headache or two.
That can be any given day, right?
Yeah.
But is there any closing remarks you'd like to share with our audience today?
No, I would say that I think people that are at a certain age, you know, yeah, be it financially or age-wise, you know, at some point you need to start looking at, you know, what if I sell this in the next 2 years or 5 years? Mm-hmm. What's involved? Get the knowledge. I'm a little surprised that the amount of people that, because they're so busy, and again, I respect it, that, you know, they're so busy and so focused on building the business, growing the business, doing the right things for their clients and employees, at some point that they're not focused on that until in the much later year. And then things become a little bit become a time constraint. The other thing is, you know, in business, and I mean, everybody knows this, but, you know, you either grow or you're going to stagnate, because if you keep doing the same thing for a couple of years, people are going to pass you by.
Yeah.
So that has an impact. Now, you can do that for a couple of years if you have a challenge, you know, you hold off and don't do certain investments, but you cannot go 4 or 5 years and keep doing what you're doing without upgrading equipment and or software generally, and I'm talking generally.
Right.
And because then that's going to impact you if 5 years later you're looking at, well, maybe I want to exit.
Yeah.
And you may still have a good business with good margins, but, you know, there's some things that haven't happened. And yes, there's people that can come in and do things, but now you limit the target list. That's all. I mean, you know, they're targets. We've dealt with some businesses that are not in the best conditions, and there's targets. Right?
Yeah.
That you can approach, but there's not 20 targets, there's 5.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for talking with us today. Thank you for sharing your knowledge. I think knowledge is power in this situation. Definitely. Thank you for being a member, and we'll be happy to connect any of our members to you anytime.
Yeah, I mean, my information is out there. So if anyone wants to just have a discussion, be happy, do it all the time. Have just general conversations on, you know, what we see, what's involved, what's possible.
Great.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Great. Have a great day.
You too.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Print and Packaging Lab podcast powered by PIA Mid-America. Contact us to learn more about membership and for access to this and other content made for the printing and packaging industry. Get in touch by emailing us at info@piamidam.org.